Okay, welcome, welcome. Praise the Lord. Good to have you today. I'm glad I'm on the giving end.
Amen.
And I hate to say this, but it's true. If those people that are out there that don't have gifts for their children for Christmas, if those people were putting God first and doing what God said, they wouldn't have to worry. God would meet their needs.
Amen.
I mean, the scripture says that, you know, it says that, you know, I mean, he blesses his obedient children. He promises us we would have an abundance to give to people if you would just serve him and put him first. That's all it takes. But anyway, you know, we had a great time out there in West Texas. We went out there and preached the word. And of course, I will have to say that the pastor that invited us out there, a couple of years ago, we were invited to come speak at a seminar that they were having all week long. And I told the lady that called me I could come a couple of days for about 2 hours a day. And so she said, okay, come on, we'll fill in the rest of the spots with other speakers. So about 2 or 3 weeks later, that pastor, a senior pastor of that church, called and told Kathy, said, tell Pastor Scrivener that I've canceled him. I don't need him. And she said, okay. And so she said, is there something wrong? And he says, no, just tell him that he will never speak in my church. And she said, he wasn't very nice. And so when she told me that, I called him. I said, brother, something wrong? He said, yeah, I've been listening to some of your stuff. And he said, you say sin and sickness are directly related. And he said, I've been teaching the Bible 40 years. And I'm telling you, that's not true. He said, you'll never speak in my church. I said, well, if you got a few minutes, I'll tell you. I'll show you in the Word. No, I don't even want to hear it. And he hung up the phone and left. So I said, okay, Lord, you know, he's your son. So I ask you to reveal the truth to this man. Well, he called me the other day and he said, I am a fool. He said, you were right and I was wrong. He said, I'll come if I have to. If you'll come out and speak in my church, I'll come to Dallas and get up before your congregation and tell them what a fool I was. I said, that's not necessary. That's not necessary. They all know the truth. I said, I've taught my people. They know what the truth is. But he said, well, so anyway, the first thing we did when he introduced me, the first thing he did said, before I introduce this man, I want to apologize to you and to him and tell him, you know, how silly I was not believing that sin and sickness are directly related. He said, I've now learned the truth. So anyway, as we got up there, I started to talk and I says, well, it's a little church, you know, probably as big as this one section over here, 75, 80 people, probably all you could get in it. But it was full. I mean, every seat was full. And I asked a question. I said, how many of you in this room here today believe that you can forgive sin? And there was three people held up their hand. Three. And there was a woman sitting right here. And I said, ma'am, why did you hold up your hand? What makes you think you can forgive sin? She said, we came to one of your healing schools in Dallas. And she said, we were listening to some of your CDs on the way home. And said, on the way home, there was a woman on the CD that you said that she gave her testimony, said the Lord spoke to her and told her to remit the sins of this block so he could turn the power back on. And she first said, Lord, I can't forgive the sins of this block. And then she said, Lord, what am I talking about? You told me in your word I could forgive sin. So, Lord, I remit the sins of this block. And she said, immediately the power came back on. So she said, I got out my Bible and I thought, now wait a minute, this can't be. There ain't no way that we can forgive sin. I mean, we're just people. But she said, we got our Bibles out and started researching and reading and studying, and lo and behold, you were right. It does say that we can forgive sin. So she said, you know, I was in church that morning and that afternoon, and next day, and said they said that one of our members had been comatose for 2 weeks and probably wasn't going to make it. So she said, I was down there on my hands and knees at the front of the church and said, I looked over there and there's one of my lady friends. I know that's a born-again, spirit-filled woman of God. I told her, because we wanted to be nice and quiet because we were all praying. So she said she came over, and I said, she said, what's wrong? She said, you know what we've learned about remitting sin? I said, this guy's comatose. Let's you and me forgive his sins. And then let's pray the prayer of faith for him. And she said, we did that at 12:30. And she said, at 1 o'clock, we started to go home. Somebody called the church and said he had just miraculously recovered. Is that awesome? Just think, you have the ability within you to forgive sin of anybody's, yours or anybody else's. You can confess your own faults to the Lord. He'll forgive you. It's done. I just stand in awe when I hear these stories that people that do these things and from what they've learned listening to the CD. Because when they came to the healing school, I didn't talk about forgiving sin that day. But the CD they listened to on the way home had the story on it. And they learned it just doing that. And this woman says, I have now learned. Now, of course, her and her husband are really strong believers in Jesus. I mean, really strong. And I asked him at the break, I said, how long has this woman been like this? He said, well, I've only been married to her 50 years, and she's been like it every minute I've ever known her. He said, she's wild when it comes to the Word of God. I thought, you know, that's the kind of woman to be married to, right?
Amen.
A woman that's a wild woman for Jesus. So how do we learn to be wild for Jesus?
Read the book.
That's right. Read and study the book. So, you know, we've been talking about prayer, and I don't know what's happened to everybody today. Today, this is going to be a Thanksgiving week, and I'm going to believe this is going to be the best Thanksgiving week I ever had in my life. I don't know what all God's going to do, but I know he's going to do something beyond my wildest dreams. And I'm just thinking that every day with Jesus gets sweeter than the day before. You know, so I don't know what he's going to do tomorrow. I don't know what he's going to do the next day. But I got a feeling for his obedient children. He's fixing to pour out a blessing upon his obedient children. And just like Dave keeps telling us, you know, learn how to dwell in a secret place. Learn how to dwell. You know, learn how to walk in a secret place. If we learn to walk in a secret place, then none of these crazy people that they're bringing over here from all different places in the world, you know, first of all, I'm going to tell this and it's going to be on tape and it's going to go all over the world and I don't care who hears it. I don't care. We have a government that's running the United States of America that's here to destroy America. We need to be really strong in faith and in the Lord because the people that's running the government, and especially the president of the United States, Obama, you know, Obama is there to destroy the United States of America. And all of you that's not going to walk in obedience to God's word, you're going to be destroyed with him. I'm telling you, there's devastation coming to America. You can't bring the kind of people that he's bringing into this country. You can't bring those people in and not see devastation. And God's bringing them in because we've turned our back on him. So for the church that's turned her back on God, it's going to be a devastating time. And who knows? And it could be within the next few weeks. Even read an article last night. I don't know if it's come to pass yet, but they're talking about a couple different places in America with the big football games today or this Thanksgiving weekend.
It's a wrestling match.
The what, honey?
It's a world wrestling match tonight in Atlanta.
Oh, okay. So one of the places they said they was going to attack was the world wrestling match in Atlanta. And that's tonight?
Tonight.
You know, the thing about it is, I'm going to tell you, and you can do what you want to do, but I think just like whenever the pastor up there in New York City told his people, if you work in the Twin Towers on Tuesday, don't go to work. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
And some people listen to him and some people don't. But all those that listened were grateful. Those that didn't listen lost their life. So I'm just going to tell you, don't get around large crowds. You don't have to be a football game, you know. You don't have to be that, you know. I mean, we see over there in that movie, that cafe or whatever it was. I mean, some of those places only had 100 or 200 people in them. But stay away from crowded areas. Make sure you're walking in obedience to God's word. Now then, think about this, what the Lord said. Of course, Dave, he's going to talk about Psalm 91 next week. But just think about what Psalm 91 says. If we dwell in a secret place with the Most High, we might walk into a place and see 1,000, even 10,000 people get killed right by your side. And he said it won't come near you. Is that what he said?
Yes.
Is this a good time to put God first?
Yes.
It's a good time to make him God, make him Lord. Make sure you're not ashamed of him. Make sure you're talking about him. Make sure you've learned how to pray. It's a good time always to learn how to pray. But in the last few weeks, you know, we've really been talking about how to pray and praying, you know, and Matthew 7:7. Somebody tell me right quick, first a couple things in Matthew 7. What does it say?
Ask, seek, and knock.
And how many people he's going to hear?
Everybody.
Every one of you, he's going to hear you. And so when we got those kind of things there and the Lord tells us what to do, if you're not praying and talking to him, and you shouldn't wait till something happens. You know, as you're going home, when you get up in the morning, the first thing you should do is start talking to the Lord, right?
Amen.
When you wake up in the morning, start praising him, telling him how much you love him. And Lord, I ask you to direct my steps today because you and me are going to do some great thing today. I don't know what we're going to do, but you do, but I'm available. Use me for your glory today, Lord. You got somebody needs to be saved. Somebody needs to be healed. Somebody that needs just loving on them. Lord, send me. I'll go. Put them in my path. But you need to be putting God first because, and the thing about it is now, you're going to have to remember when the devastation does start, and it's going to come. It's going to come. I believe with all my heart within this next year, and I believe it's going to start anytime. I believe we're going to see things happen that you've never seen happen within the United States of America. It's going to be awful, I believe. You know, I think about some of the crazy things that happened during the war here in the U.S. It's whenever they put people in the church, locked the door, and then burned the church down. You know, it's crazy, isn't it? But people do crazy things. They really do crazy things. And you don't have to live there in a war, but you want to praise God. You want to be able to for him. You want the Lord to tell you, if something crazy starts happening in America, you want him to tell you what to do. If you're listening, he will tell you where to go, what to do. And you may not have to go anywhere. You know, you may be safe right where he's got you. But you need to be tuned in to him. Because if you're living in fear and you're all strung out, well, then he ain't going to talk to you.
That's right.
He's not going to talk to you. You know, he talks to those that are not walking in fear. That spirit of fear didn't come from him. It come from the enemy. And so he ain't going to talk to you if you're in the spirit of fear. So anyway, we need to really learn how to pray. And he's given us these things. Now, today I want to go over some more scripture about praying. And I want, let's see exactly what I want, where I want to start here. Let's go to Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. Philippians 4, 4 through 7. And let's see what that says. We'll start off there. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. That's just as good today as it was when he wrote that 2,000 years ago, isn't it? Rejoice in the Lord always. We should constantly be rejoicing and praising the Lord. That should be something that's on our lips and on our heart. We ought to be rejoicing. We ought to be praising the Lord. And it, just like he says here, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I mean, rejoice. We should be praising God. People, nobody should have to ask, are you a Christian? You know, I mean, as we go throughout the day, whatever we're doing, everything we're doing, we're singing, praising, rejoicing, glorifying God, doing all these things. And, you know, you need to be like the time I was putting an electrical disconnect on an air conditioning unit on the roof, and I was in a hurry trying to get it done. And I was running a screwdriver there, running screws in that thing, and I was pushing real hard. And as I'm doing that, I turn that screw, and it slips off of the screw in there, and the screwdriver tip went through a hole in the box, and my hand went right inside that little square box and just tore meat off all over it. I mean, just blood gushed everywhere. A guy was standing right there beside me, looked at it, and I said, He said, well, go ahead and say it. I said, praise the Lord. He said, that's not what I expected you to say. I said, what do you think I was going to say? Well, you know what he thought I was going to say. He thought I was going to cuss. Yeah. But if you've asked the Lord to clean and purify you, there ain't no cuss words in you, and ain't nothing but Jesus in there. What'd he say? Rejoice. Praise the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. So praise the Lord. Well, I will have to say, it wasn't but 2 or 3 days that hand was completely well. You know, I mean, it's amazing how quick God can heal something if you just praise him. Now, if you go to cussing or fussing or go to the doctor and all that stuff, you may be there for weeks before your hand gets well. But Jesus says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let's go to the next couple of verses. We have 7-7, right?
Yes, sir.
Be careful for nothing, but in everything by
what?
How often should you and me talk to our master? Every day, continuously, without fail, right? I mean, we need to seek his help, his guidance, his direction. I mean, it makes no difference what you're doing. If you're getting up in the morning, when you get up, say, Lord, what do you want me to wear today? He even knows what color's going to fit with where you're going today. So you should ask him for everything. You should do nothing on your own, but in everything, you know. I got tickled a while ago. Roy was back there, and I come in. He says something about, you know, I looked real sharp or whatever, something like that. And somebody else said something about my wife dressing me so nice. And I thought to myself, my wife has absolutely no idea what I have on when I walk out of there. She does not dress me. I dress myself, but I always say, Lord, you put on me what I need to wear. Now, Lord, let me pick out the ones. You show me exactly what I need to wear, and I will wear that. And so for those of you that tell me every once in a while that I really look sharp, I appreciate that. But I want you to know, when you say you must really have a good woman behind you, she has nothing to do with dressing me. I do it just me and God. Cheryl don't never tell me what to wear. Well, I say she never. There is times, because I just happen to think when we were out there at this week, I had a green shirt and a blue shirt, I think it was, whatever it was. Anyway, the first shirt I put on, I had it on, had my pants pulled up and everything, and she said, oh, honey, when she come around the corner, she said, I'm wearing green tonight, won't you wear the green instead of the blue? I said, what difference does it make? I said, you know, but she said, well, I just want you to fit with me. So I said, okay, so I stopped and took everything back off. That night, I did dress according to what she wanted me to dress, but because she wanted me to match with her. And so there's not anything wrong with that. So, but as a rule, she doesn't tell me what to wear or nothing. So, but the Lord says here, be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. If we let our request be made known to the Lord, if we trust him that much and we pray about everything, you will find out in a very short order that your days and your weeks go better. I mean, about everything. Pray about everything. You know, and of course he says there in verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You want to have a good day, a good week? Use this example, what he puts down here, and it'll work. You know, when I had a girl out there that's having all kinds of trouble. Think about this. Here's a girl having all kinds of troubles. And I asked her, she looks like she's 30, you know, somewhere in that neighborhood. I said, are you married? Yes. I said, so where's your husband? Well, we're separated. I said, so you're married, but you're separated. I said, so we don't go to church with you? No. I said, do you have any children? She said, yes. How many? Four. I said, okay, so you got four kids. I says, are they all his? She said, none of them are his. I says, how many different men were daddies to these babies? She said, four. Four different men to four different babies, and now she's married to a man she has no kids with, and they don't have any kids together. Do you see anything wrong with this picture? And you wonder why we have problems? Boy. When you teach the truth of God's word, that there is to be no sexual immorality among God's children. And if you do, he will judge you and your children. Then all of a sudden people come up and like, I had no idea why my child's handicapped. Now I know. It was my sin. One of the men that came up to me before we started, he said, I've listened to a lot of your teaching. He said, you're the only man I've ever heard in my life that teaches the absolute truth of God's word. He said, what you teach, hardly nobody teaches. He said, they don't want to hear it. I said, I know, but if they'll listen to what I teach, and it's right out of God's word. He said, oh, I've watched you. He said, when you first started teaching, I saw you on GLC. He said, when I first started hearing you, I thought, you know, this guy's got a real problem. And then he said, I went to the Word of God and started checking out everything you taught, and I found out I had a real problem, not you. You were right. You're teaching what God says. What do? If you don't teach people the truth, you know who's going to be unhappy with you? Yeah, the Father. He's going to be unhappy, and I don't want him to be unhappy with me. I don't want to be unhappy. I don't want him to be unhappy. Okay, let's go to Luke chapter 11, start with verse 1. And let's read a few scriptures. They're probably down to 18 or 20 or somewhere along there. Luke 11, 1. We're talking about praying. And it came to pass that as they was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, why don't you teach us to pray? As John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so also in the earth. Verse 3 and 4. Give us this day, give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Verse 5 and 6. And he said unto them, which of you have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread at midnight? Wow. Around here, if you needed to, if a friend come by after most of the time after 9 o'clock, you'd have to find some friend at house that had some to eat because everything else, all the stores are closed. All the restaurants and everything else. You can't hardly, every once in a while we have a healing school that goes till 9 or 10 o'clock. And if it does, we got to find something to eat here because you can't go out nowhere else hardly and find anything to eat. Everything's closed. But he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. You know, I know that I have no idea what's going to happen from day to day. But I would in no wise be in the place where that my car is out of gas. I would never park my car out there at night without being full of gas or nearly full. I don't want it to be empty. With what's going on in the world today, I want to have a car that if I have to get away, I've got gas to get away. I don't want my car on empty. Or if a storm comes by, it could be anything, you know, that weather related. It could be all kinds of things. But I want my car ready to go, and I want enough food in the house that if we had a storm that cut off all power and stopped up the roads, and that could happen. Y'all know that? It has happened. I mean, just like if you lived up north, I mean, right now, there's some tremendous snowstorms up in the north and the northeast. And there's people that probably didn't get prepared for that. And now then, today, they're probably wondering where they're going to get something to eat. You know, don't live like that, you know. Keep you enough food in the house where you got 2 or 3 weeks worth of food, maybe a month. If you need something, you got it. You know, don't be unprepared. Just like this guy was here. This guy had a friend come by and he just needed 3 loaves of bread. He didn't have nothing to feed this guy. Well, of course, if you're that broke and you can't do it, I guess that's one thing. But if you put God first and serve him, you'll always have a few loaves of bread in the house. And said, she'll go to him at midnight and say unto her, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. I would hate to think that somebody did come by here at midnight under whatever circumstances and say, me and my kids are hungry. We haven't had anything to eat. Do you have something to feed us? Let me tell you, I got something to feed you. You ain't going to have to go away hungry. I can feed you and your kids. You know, I'm not going to be caught with nothing to eat. You know, I'm going to have some bread. I'm going to have some food. I'm going to have some things stored up. I'm going to have some things both that are in the refrigerator, in the freezer, and things that'll keep outside of the refrigerator and freezer. Because if you had a power loss and you can't get no power to your freezer, that ain't going to be good but just for 2 or 3 days. And then you better not open it very much or it ain't going to be good that long. And you're going to have a problem. So with the world we live in, and I hate to say it, but when the world we're living in, when I look up and see what I'm seeing on the news, on television, I can't fathom how these people are getting here. But when I see thousands of people, Muslim people, and any kind of refugees, wherever they are, and most of them are not Christians, very few Christians, that somebody's bringing these people into this country. If there's a war going on over there, then how in the world, if those people have no money, how in the world are they getting from there to here? Across the Atlantic and the Pacific Ocean, whichever way they're going. Where are these people coming and how are they getting into Europe? What are they? Somebody's doing this. Some big government or a bunch of governments has got a plan that we don't know about. But probably ultimately, the plan is, God's plan is to send these Muslims into this country to kill Americans and Europeans. But they're all people that will not serve God. That's why they're having the problem. I'm telling you what, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to scare you, but I'm going to say if you got friends and relatives that's not going to church, not putting God first, not doing what he said, you need to call them and tell them they need to get right with God because there's something going to happen. And you don't want to see your loved ones die, do you? No, I hope not. You know, but you're going to have to tell them. They're going to have to start putting God first. Over in 2 Chronicles last week, the Lord told us clearly that if we would come to him and we would repent of our sin, turn from our wicked ways and seek his face, what did he say he would do? He said he would heal our land. Did he not? He would heal our land. He's talking about you and me. He's not talking about the lost world out there. He's talking about us in the church, my people that are called by my name. If we will humble ourselves and pray, then he will hear from heaven and he will heal our land. But anyway, this friend has come from out of town and he has nothing to set before him. So let's go on there and see what 7 and 8 says. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. But I say unto you, though he will not rise and give you because he is his friend, but because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. In other words, this guy is going to continue to knock on the door. When he says, I need 3 loaves of bread. He said, you know, I'm sorry, go away. I'm already in bed. My kids, they're down. They're in bed and I don't want to get up and might wake up the baby. You know, whatever. And this guy's, I ain't going away. I want 3 loaves of bread, and I know I saw you cook all them fresh loaves today. I know you had them in the oven, so I know you got bread, and I'm not going away till you give me 3 loaves of bread. Is that persistence? That's what the Lord's trying to tell us here. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give because he is his friend, but because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Let's see what the next verse says, 9 and 10. And I say unto you, this is Jesus talking, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. That sounds kind of like Matthew 7, doesn't it? So Matthew 7 and Luke 11, we need to learn these scriptures. Because here again in verse 10, he says, for I like that, don't you, Miss Jackie? For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. In other words, let's take a lesson from this right now. If we have a need, I don't care what the need is, anything. If we have a need, our finances, our physical bodies, something, we got messed up a finger, we got a cut, anything. I don't care what it is. Or maybe don't have any of those kind of needs. You just have a need for God to direct your path today. Everybody has that need. We all have that. But what he's trying to tell us here, as sons and daughters of God, we need to do nothing without asking the Lord. I mean, we need to ask. You know, I mean, that testimony that Mike and Gracie had here a while back when Mike was trying to work on something, I forget what it was, but he was trying to work on something and he couldn't get it to work. And so Gracie came out there and she noticed he had been there. I know it was a plug on a cam or something like that on a little car. And he was trying to get this thing in there and get it lined up and he could not get that thing out and that pin out. And he's out there messing with this thing and it's way late at night, way late at night. He's trying to stay to get this guy out of the shops. And of course, it takes a real businessman to stay, you know, the normal shop, you know, if they quit at 6, hey, they shut down 6. If your car is just there, it's over. You wait till the next day. But when you got one that's privately owned and you got a man of integrity like Mike, he wants to get this guy's car out. So he's staying there late trying to get it fixed and he can't get that pin out. It's supposed to just pull out and he can't get it out. He's been over there an hour trying to get that pin out and he can't get it out. And his lovely little wife comes up and says, what's taking so long? He said, I can't get this pin out. And of course, she's just like Cheryl. The first thing comes out of Cheryl's mouth anytime I'm doing something like that and I can't get something done, she said, well, have you prayed about it yet? That's the first thing out of her mouth. Always. And of course, us men, no, I hadn't prayed about it yet. I don't need you to tell me. I'll figure it out. That's how stupid we are. You know, I've done that. I've done that. How do I know all these things? Because I'm a man and I've done it and I've been there. So anyway, but Cheryl's done that to me several times. You know, I'll be working on something and I can't get it done. And she walks up and she says, what's going on? I tell her and she said, first word out of her mouth, what, did you pray about it? And usually that upsets me. The reason it upsets me is because you'd think I was smart enough to know better than that. I didn't have to have my wife to tell me how to do it. But I'm not. And that's why God sent you women to take care of us men, because he knew what we were. So if we would listen, and so then you, nearly every time, whenever I pray, after I say, no, honey, you're right, I haven't prayed. And I'm getting to where I'm more gentler about this now. I say, why don't you agree with me in prayer? And sometimes she even does the praying. And it always worked. And just like Mike that day, he was trying to get that pen out of there and he couldn't get it out. And Gracie said, have you prayed? And he said, no. He said, you know, he said, I don't need any help. It's just pulling a pen out of a hole. And he said, any child should be able to do this. But he hadn't been able to do it. And it ain't working. And so finally she said, well, okay, you know, if you don't want to pray, just, you know, work on it all night if you want to, you know, but I think you ought to pray. Okay, we'll pray. So he prayed. And that pen came right out, didn't it, Mike? See, now she should have come by an hour earlier. But all I got to say is, girls, when we get upset at y'all for things, y'all just take it with a grain of salt. We love y'all and we appreciate y'all and what you do for us. I guarantee if when we as men learn to listen to God and our wives, we'll be a whole lot better off, you know. So, but you know how men are. You girls that are all married, you know you're married to one, and all of us are just alike. It's almost like we come out of the same mold, nearly, because that's the way we are. But that's why God said there, but I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given to you. In other words, if you can't get the thing, can't get it fixed, who do you ask? The Lord. Whatever the Lord says, I know what you have need of even before you ask. And so, you know, if you stop and think about those things and you're trying to do something and you're having trouble, and I think how many times in my life I've done that, you know, when there was nobody there but me, and I may work hours and hours trying to get something to work or do something and couldn't make it work. And then finally the Holy Spirit will get through to me. If I don't have a wife to come by and tell me, the Holy Spirit will say, you know, you'll finally, that thought will come to your mind. Did you pray about this? And I think, no, I didn't. Maybe I ought to. Maybe I ought, you know, I don't know. Surely this is such a simple little thing. Any child could pull this pen out of this hole. You know, Lord, I don't need to pray about this, but okay. Since my wife's bugging me, I'm going to pray. Okay, Lord, and pray, and bam, the thing just works like a champ. We need to listen when God tells us these kind of things, don't we? When he says, then I say unto you, ask and it shall be given. You know, you shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open. For everyone that asks receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth. And he that knocketh, it shall be opened unto you. So anytime we're trying to do anything, I don't care what it is. You know, I think about sometimes the way God does things. I usually try to pray over everything. I start my day out, Lord, I'm going to Dallas today, so Lord, for sure, direct my steps. Keep me safe from all the crazy people that'll be out there on the road. You know, let me have a good trip down there and back. And so Cheryl and I went to Dallas. We're coming back, and I'm driving. We're driving along there, and I'm driving exactly the speed limit. And I'm in the far left lane, and there's quite a bit of traffic. And I'm driving along there, and all of a sudden I look up, and there's a couple of cars way up there in front of me, probably twice as far as this length of this building. But that's not far when you're driving 60 miles an hour. But anyway, there's a couple of them up there. And I look in the rearview mirror, and there's a 18-wheeler bearing down on me. I mean, he's coming down. I look, and I'm driving 60, and the speed limit was 60. And just as I look at the speedometer, and I look in the mirror and see this guy coming down, I hear the Spirit tell me, pull to the right one lane. I heard that just as clear as a bell. Son, pull to the right one lane. What do? You pull to the right one lane. I mean, my goodness, you prayed and asked God to direct you and keep you safe today. Now when he tells you to do something, for God's sakes, do what he says. Don't think maybe I just heard hearing things. No. When you hear that, obey. And so I immediately, I looked right quick. There was nobody over there. So I just whipped over right quick and got one lane further to the right. And just as I pulled over in that lane, whoosh, that truck went right by me. And I thought, wow, he was really coming down. I thought, maybe he's going to hit me in the rear end. I don't know, but he could have stopped. But anyway, he went right on by me. And now I'm driving 60, and he's driving probably 70. And he gets about two or three or four truck lengths ahead of me. And we come up over a hill there. And just as we come over the hill, all we could see was stoplights. Every lane was stoplights. That's not good. So anyway, man, he slammed on the brakes. I mean, I look in my rearview mirror, ain't nobody behind me, so I'm no big hurry, and there's nobody real close in front of me, so I just start slowing down. I'm slowing down. This truck, he's sliding the rear wheels, and the guy up there in front, two cars up, he was way too close. You know, if you went to school, and most of us had to get a driver's license, you're supposed to not follow very close. You're supposed to give one car length for every 10 miles an hour of speed. So if you're five car lengths behind, you need five car lengths ahead of you. You don't want to be running this far behind somebody on their back bumper. But people do it all the time. All the time. So this person, whenever they was up there in front of that truck, boy, that guy's on his brakes. I mean, he's doing everything, and he gets it stopped just this far before he hits the guy in front of him. I mean, just barely gets it stopped. And the guy behind him, he's too close, and he's slamming it on. And as he gets stopped, just as he gets stopped, again, about this far, the guy in the middle's got this much on both ends. And you can see the guy say, whoosh. And just about the time he did that, that 18-wheeler hit right in the back end of that one on the rear end. He was smoking them tires trying to stop. He hit that second one, knocked that guy right into that other guy, and knocked him right into the other guy. Now you got a truck and three cars piled up right there in one lane because one truck was speeding. I just pulled on to the right, went around the whole thing, and just kept right on going. I said, Lord, thank you. Did he tell us that for his children, he will protect you? Why do you think he told me to pull over one lane? Because he didn't want me in the middle of that. And if I hadn't have been listening, I hadn't have been an obedient son, if I hadn't have heard the Spirit tell me to pull over one lane, if I had been a disobedient son, I'd have been right there, and then I'd have been crunched on the front and the back of my car. And who knows what kind of damage that would have been. It could have cost thousands of dollars to fix it. Thousands. But because I'm a son of God, I'm doing my best to walk in obedience to his word, I'm listening to the Spirit. He spoke to me. And why did he do that? Because that morning before I left, I prayed. All during the trip, I pray. You know, we ask the Lord to protect us. Driving down the road, we ask the Lord to protect us. I don't care where we're flying or driving or whatever we are. We know the power of prayer. Now then, if we don't pray, what can we get from God? Nothing. He's a God that answers prayer. But if you don't pray, he says here in verse 10, he says, for everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. So if we don't get it, it's because we didn't ask. But if we ask, there's nothing impossible with God. Let's see what the next couple of verses say. Then he gives us an example here. He says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? You know, would you do that? I mean, if your son asked you for a loaf of bread, would you give him a rock? No, you wouldn't do that. Or he's sure if he asked him for a fish, you wouldn't give him a serpent. You know, I just think about these examples that Jesus put in here and said, or if he shall ask for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? You know, I'm glad we don't have many snakes around here, and I'm glad we don't have many scorpions around here. I was raised in a place in Central Texas where there was way too many snakes and scorpions. And, you know, you just get used to them. But I remember one night that I came in, and I don't know what I'd done. Of course, I'd probably done a lot of things wrong because I sure missed the boat on lots of things when I was growing up. You know, I know none of y'all were disobedient when you were growing up, were you? Yeah, we all were disobedient. But anyway, I don't know what I did, but I come in one night, it's probably 11 or 12 o'clock, and I'm going to wash my face. And of course, you know, we don't have, it's just an old house, you know, it's just an old house. But at least there was a roof over our head. And so I went up and got some water, and had, of course, you have to go outside and get water. Didn't have running water in the house or nothing like that. So I went out and got a pan of water, and I'm going to wash my face and everything before I go to bed. And after I get washed, I go over to a towel rack at the end of the stove there and pull the towel off the rack and put it on my face and start drying, and something stuck me. And I thought, wow, it must have been a grass burr or something in that towel, you know, because, you know, we didn't have no dryers, you know, you dried everything out on a line. I thought, well, Mom probably dropped that thing on the ground. It got a grass burr in it. So, wow. So I kind of look it around, didn't see nothing. And I thought, well, I don't see nothing. So, of course, it's late at night, and, you know, not very good lights in the house either. So one little old light bulb up, you know, don't have nothing. This is back when you didn't have nothing. And so anyway, I started drying again. It stuck me again. And I got two sticks on the face. And so I laid that towel on the cabinet and out there where the light was, and I looked, and there's a great big old stinging scorpion laying there in that towel. And you've seen them big old crooked tails they got, you know, that stick up. Man, they sock you, you know, and that hurts. So anyway, you think, if somebody asked for an egg, do you think that your daddy would give you one of those things? A scorpion? No, he's not going to do that. So let's see what verse 13 and 14, let's see what Jesus said. If you, then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? If we are an obedient son or daughter of God, that's one with God, and we ask the Lord to give us the Holy Spirit, or whatever we ask him for, but for sure, since he's asking here, he's giving us an example here. If we ask him for the Holy Spirit and we're obedient, is he going to give us the Holy Spirit? Of course he is. He's definitely going to give you the Spirit. Now then, if you've got the Holy Spirit and you need, I would suggest that every day of your life, and I try to do this every day, sometimes more than once, but every day I try to ask the Lord, fill me today to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. Yes, I want to be full of the Holy Spirit, Lord. I know without the Holy Spirit, I can do absolutely nothing. But I know with the Holy Spirit, there's nothing impossible. So I ask you to fill me with the Holy Spirit. So if I ask him to fill with the Holy Spirit, I should always thank him for filling me with the Holy Spirit when I ask. Because if I don't thank him for it, chances are you won't get it. He says, ask with thanksgiving. So always ask with thanksgiving. But he said, you know, if we being evil know how to give good things to our children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Then he says in verse 14, he says, and he was casting out a devil or a demon, and it was a dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out of him, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. Verse 15. But some of them said, he cast out devils or demons through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. Do you know that I went to church all of my life? And of course, I went to the Baptist church, but I was in all the Baptist churches that I was ever a member of, not one single one of them ever taught us that we could cast out demons. Were you a member of a church like that? Some of you were, though, weren't you? Some of you went to a church that you never heard about the devil. You never heard that you had power over the devil. You never heard that the devil would come and visit you if you sin. They never talk about those kind of things. So anyway, here when Jesus was casting out these demons, they was wondering where did that power come from for him to do such a thing? Let's go to the next verse 17. Let's see what that says. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also is be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. 19 and 20. Listen. But if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come among you. You know, it's amazing that when you really begin to understand that the devil has absolutely zero power over you unless you give it to him. When you learn that as a son or daughter of God, Satan cannot touch you. If you do not sin, he cannot touch you. Now let me just ask you a question. How many of you know a scripture in the book that guarantees you Satan can't touch you unless you sin? Who knows where that scripture is located? Back there. Where's it found? Okay, now Luke 10, 19, 20 tells you the power you have. Yeah, you're right. Luke 10, 19, 20 clearly tells you the power you have over demons, providing you're not living in sin. And you have, how much power do you have over them? All. That's exactly right. If you're not living in any kind of sin, but that won't tell you that if you're not sinning, you know, that that's when you have power. But there is another scripture back there, Miss Bobby. Okay, so you okay, where's that at? Mark 16, 17, and 18, but that's still not the one I'm looking for. The one I'm looking for, where?
1 John 5:18.
Now, I want each one of you, I want them to put 1 John 5:18 on the board, and I want you to look at this, and I want you to really look at this. And I mean, this scripture, this really locked me up for a long time because of that verse 18. I mean, I read that and read that and read that, and I thought, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Being a Baptist, and them telling me that I'm a sinner saved by grace, and it's impossible for me to walk without sinning every day. It's impossible. You can't go through the day without sinning. So if that's true, which is really not true, but if it were true, when I read this, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. So guess what that taught me as a Christian? I wasn't a Christian because I knew I sinned. I knew I did things wrong. How many of us in here know that during the course of the day you may make a mistake and do something wrong? You know that? Okay, you're all just like I was. You know that you go through the day, you may be having a great day, and your own spouse may come in and say something, and you say something derogatory to her. You just stepped out of your love walk. You just sinned. You know, and you think, what is wrong with me? Why do I do stupid things like this? But we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But when I finally done the research on this scripture to find out, it said, we know that whosoever is born of God does not practice sinning. That made a whole new world to me. Then I can read that, we know that whosoever is born of God does not practice sinning. In other words, if I sin, what can I do if I sin and make a mistake? I can repent, right? I can repent, and I don't want to take very long, do I? I mean, some of you may have been a long time since I've told a story about down there when I was in Dallas working down there for Cater Air years ago. Whenever a man come in that day and handed me a fax and wanted to know if I'd read this. And I looked at it and I says, well, I don't know if I have or not. And he said, well, look at it. And I opened it up and looked at it, and it says, if certain things happen in our corporation, they may have to close the engineering division. I was the director of engineering. I had a great job. I traveled all over the country. I had an expense account. I had making good money. I had my own company truck. You know, I was really happy with where I was living as a man. I knew my job real well. I knew I had Jesus, you know, and so I could always ask him for anything, and I never run into anything I couldn't fix or whatever because I had the King. And so I could ask him. But this day when I looked at that, I says, wow, if they do this, and I guess I was probably 45, 50 years old. I said, gee, if they were to close the engineering division, I wonder what would happen to me. Is that doubt? Is that unbelief?
Yes.
Is that sin?
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely. That quick, that easy. And I'm telling you what, ladies and gentlemen, the minute I said that, wow, if they were to close the engineering division, what would happen to me? I wouldn't have a job. I mean, in one heartbeat, sinus fluid began to run out of my nose, onto my lip, and right off my chin on the floor. And the general manager said, Thurman, what happened? Did a river just break loose in your head? And I said, well, no, that's not exactly what happened. But I said, if I told you, you wouldn't understand. And I said, so anyway, I had not read this fax, but I said, take this and go away. I don't want to talk about it. So he tucked the paper and left. And I said, Satan, I rebuke you. I command you to stop in Jesus' name. I command it. And it didn't stop. It kept on running. So I did that two or three or four times. I said, Lord, I repent for my sin. I repent for my sin of unbelief. Now I kick this devil out in the name of Jesus. And he didn't go away. So as I'd walked down through the plant when I was headed for lunch, I'm walking along there. I'm saying, devil, I command you to come out of me in the name of Jesus. Now, let me tell you what, everybody give me plenty of room. I mean, they only had to hear me say that one time. And then next time I come by, they say, oh, I don't want to get close to him. You know, I didn't even realize what I was doing. You know, I didn't even realize because I'm living in another world. That's what I told Cheryl the other night. She's talking about something about somebody, and as she's talking about it and what they were hearing, and she said, you know, the woman, she just, like I was in another world. I said, honey, you are in another world.
I was talking to my cousin.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, you definitely, that cousin of Cheryl's definitely lives in a different world than where Cheryl lives. You know, she lives in a spiritual world. She understands things that woman has no clue about. And so that's the way it was with the general manager and me that day. And so after he left and I started rebuking the devil, so I went home that night and my nose is pouring. It's running like crazy. I'm blowing my nose and rebuking the devil. Every time I blow my nose, I rebuke the devil because I've repented. He's not supposed to have a legal right to me. But when I sinned, he came in. And when he came in, he's kind of hard to get out. But the scripture doesn't say I'm fighting a punching match, did it? Did it? What did it say? I'm fighting a wrestling match. That's right. Paul said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And so I'm wrestling against this devil. I'm commanding him to leave. And I'm maybe not using the scripture as much as I should have, but this goes on for about 4 days. When I got home that night, my wife, when I walked in, that was Betty, not Cheryl, because she wasn't near as spiritual as Cheryl is. But when I walked in, she saw this sinus fluid running out of my nose. She said, oh, let me get you some sinus medication out of the medicine cabinet. I said, no. I said, medicine is not going to solve this problem. This is a spiritual problem. I sinned. She said, what did you do? And I mean, I guess when I said I sinned, she thought I'd murdered somebody or something. You know, I don't know. But the way she responded, she thought I was, maybe I just killed somebody or whatever. But you know, I've come to realize when Romans 14:23 says, anything you do that's not of faith is sin, you know how easy it is to sin?
Very easy.
Very easy to sin. That's right. Anything you do, Romans 14:23 says, anything you do that's not of faith is sin. So anyway, I wouldn't take any medication. I continued to rebuke the devil, and he would not go out. This goes on for 4 days and nights. I mean, 4 days and nights, I'm rebuking this devil. And then I remember that fourth morning on the way to work. I was leaving here going to work, and I'm driving down the road just right out here close to 35. I'm not quite to 35 yet. I'm driving along there on 407, and I says, devil, I have repented of my sin. I said, I did sin. I did open the door. I did let you in, but I repented of that sin. Now I want you to know I am fed up with this nonsense. The scripture is clear. Luke 10:19-20 clearly says, I have all power and all authority over you, and you have to be subject to me. And I'm screaming this. This ain't something I'm doing lightly. I am screaming at that devil. And so I tell him, I said, devil, in the name of Jesus. Now my head's so stopped up, I can't even hardly breathe. You know, I mean, it just sinus fluid. And I said, devil, this is the last time I'm going to talk to you. It's written in Luke 10:19-20. In the name of Jesus and by the power of the blood, I command you in Jesus' name to come out of me. And I reached over and hit the dash of my pickup as hard as I could. And I said, now go in Jesus' name. And that beast left me, just like that devil did we just talked about there in Luke. When Jesus commanded it, that thing left me and my head was instantly wide open and I could breathe just as good as I can breathe right now. And when that happened, I was startled. Wouldn't you have been? Yeah. I was startled because now I realize this is a spiritual war, a spiritual battle. I am fighting a fight of faith. And so I looked up. I turned on the 35 down there, headed toward work, toward DFW Airport. And as I turned up on the, as I looked up, going up that ramp, I looked up and up in the sky was a great big banner flying through the sky. And it says Matthew 11:12. And I thought, Lord, I have read Matthew 11:12 100 times at least. I have never understood it till right now. But since the coming of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence. But the violent take it by force. And that's what I did. I overcome the devil with force from the Word of God. And so now we know why when we pray for somebody, if we're not really strong in faith, you may have to get violent with it. You may have to go a step beyond. But of all these questions that we've looked at and about praying, how many times did Jesus say, I'm not going to answer your prayer? Never. So why, when we pray and we don't get an answer, why do we give up so easy? You ever stop to think about that? We don't. We just think, well, he didn't hear my prayer. Oh, me, you know, I'm just an old worthless girl. You know, he would never answer my prayer anyway. And the devil's sitting on your shoulder saying, that a girl. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. Instead of saying, you're out of here, Jack. In the name of Jesus. That's right. You are out of here. Now then, what if I'd have give up? What if that first day I'd have said, you know, this is what the scripture says, and I repented, but this didn't work. Then who knows how long I might have been sick with that asthma problem? What if I'd have give up the second day? What if I'd have give up the third day? But what if I know why I'm going over these scriptures with you over and over and over? To how many that ask, does he answer? Okay, if you get that in your heart, that means the battle is done. When you repent of your sin and command the beast to leave, it's done for Jesus is concerned. He did his part. Is that right? Now then, if he's not gone and we're still there and we still got a problem, we haven't got tough enough with the devil. Now then, if we're not very strong in faith, we might stay in there and read a little every day and quote a few things, and maybe it takes 2 weeks. Maybe finally after 2 weeks, if you haven't given up, but you know what happens to most of us? Not even close to 2 weeks. We don't get our answer today. We give up and say, well, God doesn't love me as much as he does Cheryl. You know, I mean, y'all understand where I'm coming from? You know, you don't get your answer. I mean, of course, we are in America today. We are spoiled rotten with microwave technology. I was listening to a well-known preacher. I was going to tell you who he is. It was John Hagee. John Hagee the other day, and he said, you know, I pulled up to get something, and he said, I'm hollering at the guy inside there. He said, I'm at a McDonald's or whatever. I'm fixing to get me a Big Mac or whatever it was. And he said, the guy's asking what's going on. I said, what's wrong with you in there? Can't you get nothing right? I want my hamburger and I want it now. Do you understand me? And he said, I looked over there and there's a carload of my people. I said, hi, folks. He said, I felt like about that tall. He said, "Your man of faith and power is giving this poor kid behind the McDonald's deal a hard time." But are we all human beings? Unfortunately, we all are human beings, and we do things crazy. But by staying with it, if we don't get our answer to our requests, then we make sure we've repented of that sin, and we get a little rougher, and we take the scripture. If you noticed what I did that morning on the way to work, that final morning, that fourth morning, I quoted the scripture out loud, every word in that scripture, Luke 10, 19, and 20. I quoted it boldly and strongly. And then I used that scripture, and I hadn't worked up to now, so now I got screaming. I know God says, "I have total power and authority over the devil." Is that what he said? In that in that 1 John 5:18, let's look at that one more time. We know that whosoever is born of God does not sin, but he that is begotten of God keeps himself. And I had done this, now I'd repented, and that wicked one touches him not. So once I repent of sin, when I repent of sin, the devil may be in there. But if I repent of sin, how much legal right does he have to stay in there? No, now then we're down to the wrestling match, Miss Jackie. Which one of us is going to be the strongest? Who's going to cast this beast out? Is he going to be bigger than you are? Or are you going to be bigger than he is? Amen. Because you know who's in you, right? So the devil's a peanut in every case, right? Yeah, he can't win. I mean, there may, but you know, who knows? I can just see the Lord in those 4 days, in the training he was giving me. He was training me how to be an overcomer. And when I finally got violent with the devil and screamed at him and he left and I was instantly healed, that's when the Lord put that banner. Matthew 11:12. It's flying. I can still see that thing just flying through the clouds. But that taught me something. Be strong in the Lord. He's always on my side. If I've got my sins confessed and repented of, he's always on my side. He wants me to win these battles. He don't want me to lose none of these battles. He's not planning on you and me being sick as his children. But if we open that door to that devil and he gets in, he's going to make you sick. He's going to make that sinus fluid run out of your nose and it's going to pour out of there. And he made it run for 4 days and nights until I got violent. But when I got violent, he left and I was healed. I've learned that principle now that that's just like the night that I've shared with y'all many times, the night that Cheryl fell right here in the ministry center and had the bruises all over her fingers and her head and her knee and everything else. When I went up there, I prayed boldly over her. And when she said, "Oh, honey, I'm hurting, I got this bruise up here." And I told her, I said, "I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that." She said, "But my knee," I wrapped her on. I said, "I don't want to hear that, woman. Do you hear me? Sometimes you got to get rough with them." Is that right? Amen. You know, I didn't hurt her. But, you know, I will have to say, after we got over that and we used those scriptures, and by the time we got to the bedroom, she said, "Wow, I'm feeling good." She got up to the mirror and looked in the mirror and said, "I'm going to look at my bruises." I said, "Honey, I don't want to hear you say that no more. There is going to be no bruises." Oh, I tell you, you're right. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. I have no bruises. And boy, in a few minutes, when she came to bed, she snuggled up under me and she said, "I am so glad I'm married to you." But we had a battle going on there. You know that? If the average person would come by and see me swatting my wife on the back because I said, "Hush up, I don't want to hear that," they'd say, "Oh, lock that guy up, Tony. He's crazy." But only children of God know what we were doing, right? But it worked. And by me, the next morning when she woke up, she didn't have a bruise, a mark, or nothing. Her body was perfect. I'm telling you, one wrong statement, "Oh my gosh, my wife is hurt, her hands are swelled up or not, let me call 911. That's all it would have taken. And who knows what she might have experienced. But I guarantee the next morning she wouldn't have been totally healed like she was. Isn't that amazing? When God gave us all these principles and these things to stand on. Isn't that something? And all these promises are what?
Yes and amen.
Yes and amen. He never says no to his obedient children, does he, Kim? And so even when you said, "Lord, I can't remit the sins of this block," Then she caught herself. The Holy Spirit gigged her right there and said, Kim, what do you mean you can't do this? It's written in the book. She said, Lord, I'm sorry. I remit the sins of this block. And bam, the power came back on just like that.
Amen.
Isn't that something? And of course, you had no idea, and I had no idea that years later, a lady and her friend was going to do that for a comatose man that was dying, and he was healed in 30 minutes. But does the scripture say we can forgive sin?
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does. Wow. Now then, again, in this Luke, it's just like the Matthew 7. Matthew 7 and Luke 11, both of them said, we ask, knock, seek, and everyone that asks, knocks, or seeks gets an answer from God. Is that what it says? So what are we trying to say here? Don't give up. If I'd give up on day one, if I'd give up on day two, or even four. But I'm telling you, on that fourth morning, when I kicked that beast out, my nose was completely stopped up. How many of you have ever had a completely stopped up head, both nostrils? I guess all of us have. But when I kicked that devil out, my head was completely open just like that, and I could breathe perfect. So anytime you have a nose that tries to start stopping up, start thinking, Lord, what did I do? Lord, I did something. And so I repent of my sin. And if you ask the Lord, say, Lord, what did I do that opened this door? He'll probably quicken your spirit just like that. And you'll know. And say, Lord, okay, I repent. I repent. And so once you repent, then kick that devil out. And believe he's out. And if he don't go away the first time you tell him to go away, don't give up. Stay with it until you drive him out just like I did. And, well, you know, here's what I used to do. When this time of year came around and it started getting cool weather, I said, well, it's flu season again. I guess I'll have the flu. And guess what? I always had it. That's absolutely right. I always had it. You know, somebody said, well, how long does it last? That's all, usually 2 or 3 weeks and it goes away. Another curse. And all I got to say, or was I stupid? Yes, I was stupid because I didn't believe the word of God. Jesus told me to submit myself to him and resist the devil and he'd flee from me, did he not? Isn't that amazing? So what's the problem here? We need to know more about the word, right? We need to know the word and we need to walk in obedience to God's word and we need to walk in love. Oh, I'm glad Cheryl said that to me. She said, I need to submit to my husband all the time. Oh, one of these days she's going to learn. Lord, oh me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this beautiful day. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you're teaching us how to pray. And when we pray, you tell us ask, seek, and knock. And you're telling us over and over the answer is always yes and amen. You never tell us no. So, Lord, help us to stay in faith and ask for things and see you do things. And help us to not do anything without prayer. Lord, we want to pray. We want to be about your business. We want to do things your way. We want to see you glorified. We just want to see you really, really glorified. And we want to walk in health with ourselves and with our spouses, with our children. We don't want nothing there. And, Lord, help us to stay clean and pure. Help us to be like Dave is, Lord. Whenever a devil tries to come upon him, he gets Psalm 91 out and tells him, no, devil, no, you ain't going to do this. Get out of my house in the name of Jesus. And the devil goes. So, Lord, thank you for giving all of us that revelation. We all need it so we can walk in obedience to your word, so we can be a church on fire for you. And, Lord, help us to not be afraid of nothing, anything that we see coming our way. Any kind of destruction or devastation or anything else, help us to not get into fear, but to walk in faith and to believe so that we won't have to be hurt, because the scripture says that you will watch over us and protect us, and we will only see these devastating things with our eyes. It will not come near us. So, Lord, I thank you for doing that. Now, bless us this week. And, Lord, we thank you for the Thanksgiving day and the Thanksgiving week. We thank you for everything. We thank you for food and clothes and everything that you bless us with, Lord. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that teaches us the truth about your Word. And we just praise you and ask you to use all of us mightily this week. And let us be used of you mightily for great things. And Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you for all the food you'll give us this week and the Thanksgiving week. I know we'll all overeat. We always do.
No.
But we won't get fat. Lord, take out everything we don't need and put everything in it we do need and bless that food in Jesus' name, Lord, and give us all a great Thanksgiving. And let us be used to help other people and to do great things for your kingdom. And we praise you that we're your children and that we love you and you love us and you're training us how to be overcomers. Now, Lord, thank you for this wonderful week and may it be one of the best weeks we have ever had in our life. And then as the next week goes on, maybe it be another better week and may everything get better and better as we walk with you and serve you and love you. And we praise you and thank you for blessing all these children. That all the people that have helped to bless these children, that have given money or whatever, Lord, thank you for blessing those children. Now let those children and the parents of those children really know who you are and that they would get closer to you. And I thank you, Father, for being there for all of us and being our Lord and our God. And we just give you all the praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen, and amen. Awesome.